Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and good morning, depending on the time zone you're in at the moment. Welcome everyone to Nightlight. Welcome light workers, light body energies, seekers of the light, watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers and querents, journeymen and journeyers, seekers, star children and philosophers, and all those seeking reason and magic in these times of awakening, evolution, and transformation. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with my cohort, Jeannie, we invite you to come in out of the mainstream and gather around our nightlight in the darkness and confusion of the times. The show represents a sort of pit stop on your cosmic journey, so sit back, share your light with other light-minded people, gather for a time and be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change. This is our own very small oasis in the turmoil that we call creation. Share with us your light. We'll share ours with you. And with any luck, we can generate enough light to not only light our ways, but provide enough light for other people who are seeking as well. These journeys that we're on began a very, very long time ago and will continue long after this lifetime has faded into memory. So gathering together, as we do every week, generates energy that can and is drawn on by countless others. Coming together and blending our lights creates energy that serves not only ourselves, but humanity as well. If you'd like to learn more about me, I invite you to visit my website, barbaradelong.com. There's a ton of information there, as well as links to all of the other stuff I'm involved in. And also the connections to the other shows that I have an honor to be a part of. On the first Tuesday and the last Thursday of every month, I co-host Almost Heaven with Lizzie Starr and Hazel. That's on at 2 o'clock, 2 to 4, and I invite you to join us. They're charmingly wonderful spiritual people, and we have tons of fun, and of course we do the free readings, which, you know, adds to sometimes confusion, but always laughter. The other show that I do is Matrix Radio, and that is the show that I did with my husband, Patrick Cook. And since his passing, we, Jeannie and I, have decided to turn it into an interview show, and so we will be doing interviews on different spiritual topics. We have all sorts of them. We've even found a couple of books that we think are phenomenal that we're going to talk about. Also, Lynn Buss, who wrote, I think it's The Heart of Numerology. He also wrote Numerology for the New Age, and I think he's probably one of the most amazing people ever as far as numerology goes. And if Jeannie can find his website, I think she'll stick it up into the chat room, because it is just phenomenal. And it's amazing what your name and your birth date hold as far as information about you. His book is amazing. The only thing I do will warn you is don't read the introduction. Just go right plow into it, and you'll have a lot more fun with it. Also, the other show that we're going to be doing is a new show that will be coming out of New Zealand, of all places. It will be streaming on FM radio there, and it will be on the Internet as well. So Jeannie and I will be available to you, I believe, after that show starts, twice a week. So if you miss us on this show, you'll be able to catch us on the other one sometime. We haven't scheduled it yet, but it is in the works, and we will soon be very, very busy, and I'm going to have to double her salary because she'll be doing double duty, maybe even triple duty. But don't tell her that. She is in the chat room. She is busily screening you. And if Jeannie screens you, just hang in there, because even if the show ends, I will get to you. I'll sit here and I'll read until everybody she has screened has had their reading. She can answer most of your questions. She's the co-host. And so if you have any questions, you click on the co-host and I am her. She'll be able to tell you the length of the queue and all sorts of information like that. And if you're really desperate, you can ask her, but I don't think she'll read you. But, you know, every now and then I keep thinking she's right on the edge and we can shove her over. So the call-in number is 347-857-2139, 347-857-2139. If you're interested in getting a reading, I do recommend you do it sooner rather than later, because the queue does get very, very long. And as I said, if Jeannie screens you, then you're golden. Then I will happily sit here and read until we are done. And I think Blog Talk gives us an extra hour or so. Want to mention what's going on here in the world. It's craziness. Energy is blowing everybody off their center. So if you feel a tad disoriented, or as if the world is crashing down on you, welcome to the club. When the earth energy changes like it's doing now, everybody feels disoriented. Everybody feels as though, wait a minute, where did the balance of my life go, and where did the flow of my life go? And I had everything in working, and it was working in pretty good order, and then suddenly, kaboom, it's gone. It feels as though we've got another month or so of this, not only globally, but independently and individually as well. So we're all going to find things shifting around where we don't expect it to. So, you know, buckle your seatbelt up. This may be a very interesting ride that we're going to be going through in the next little while. We have I'm going to mispronounce your name, and I apologize ahead of time. Lanice, is that how you pronounce your name?
Yes, it is. Hello, and how are you?
I am fine. How are you doing today?
Feeling like you just mentioned, like, I just don't know. It's crying and just feeling to it like I've just lost the grip.
Well, you know, we all probably have. And you know, it's okay to do a little bit of crying, because, you know, losing your grip is a scary thing. But do you have your computer on, the volume on?
I don't.
Oh, okay. I just heard an echo. I thought it was me. How can I help you today?
Well, I guess I'll go with relationship. I'm seeing someone and it's new, and I'd like to know, is he from my past, or what is, you know, what is the purpose of him coming into my life? Is it going to be a relationship or anything that you could see concerning us?
Is this a new relationship?
Yes, it is.
It feels like it's very new. How long have you been involved here?
Since Thanksgiving, I would say that's new.
That's very new.
Very new.
It does feel as though there's a lovely connection with past lives here, and when past life people come into our lives and it's a relationship type thing. Quite often there are things that need to be worked out, and the thing I'm seeing initially here is communication and making sure that you don't play games, that you actually put it on the table and let everybody know what you feel, what you expect, and what you're looking for. I think that this is a good person. He feels as though there's a lot of warmth around him, that he has a very warm and generous, giving heart. And I think everybody brings baggage into relationships. After they're 12 years old, they've got baggage. I think that around that time we start to get feeling certain stuff like that. So, not necessarily relationship stuff, but it feels like this is a wonderful relationship for you. A good relationship means that you have to work, you have to grow, you have to learn more about yourself and all sorts of wonderful stuff. It isn't. So if you didn't have to work, there wouldn't be any point to it. I do feel this is a good relationship, and I think you should allow yourself to embrace it to a greater extent than you have been doing. It feels like you're hanging back, holding back, and not trusting. And I think you're not trusting has to do with a relationship with somebody else as opposed to this person.
Okay.
So it's sort of like you may be feeling red flags, but I don't think they're this person's red flags. So check yourself out as to, you know, what I feel that you are uneasy and not trusting to a certain extent, and I don't think that he's earned it yet. So let him earn his own red flags if he's actually going to. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. This. I don't know. I don't know if it was my stuff or his stuff. He hadn't really done anything. But I guess I'm pulling in old baggage.
Yeah. You're kind of going through one of those. Oh, I know what comes next thing. And no, you don't. You don't at all. So this is a time. You know, you're birthing new aspects of yourself, and you're learning how to trust yourself to a far greater degree than ever before. And listen to your gut and not your head. You're analyzing this too much, and you're trying to put reason to an emotion, and the two are definitely not connected.
Well, how do you know what's your head and what's your gut and your head?
Well, if you're thinking at all, it's your head.
Okay.
If you're trying to figure out where did that come from or what does that mean, it's your head. And okay. You know, if you're comfortable, if you feel good, if you're happy, if there's a lot of fun in you, then most probably that's your gut. But if you start to pull back, if you start to say, uh-oh, this may be going in this direction or this may be going in that direction, then that's your head. And your head will get you in trouble. Please don't think, just feel.
Okay, well, it feels good. I think it's when I start thinking and trying to figure out what is, you know, just using my head. Okay, I get the picture now.
Yeah, thinking is wonderful if you're being tested for a job or, you know, if you have to analyze something for work. But thinking is absolutely, you know, if you take the time to trust to your gut and how you feel and how the person makes you feel, then you're in really good shape.
Okay. How do I keep my energy from others? Can you give me a quick rundown on that? because I feel that my energy is being taken away. My mom is ill, and I've been staying in the hospital, and I'm very sensitive, and I've just been bombarded. Do you know a quick solution for that, or?
You're wide open because you're concerned about your mom. And if when you're sitting there, if you cross your ankles and fold your hands, that seals your aura, so no energy can get in from any other place. And it does feel as though this is a highly emotional time. I don't think it's other people taking your energy. I think it's your emotions that are doing it, and that's very appropriate.
Okay.
I mean, cross your ankles and fold your hand, and that closes your aura. It's very easy.
Okay, I never heard that one before, but I will use it. And fold my hands like one over the other, like across them.
No, you know how you fold your hands if you were going to say grace?
Okay.
Yeah.
Keep them like that.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. And you know, it's but I really don't feel people are taking from you. I think it's your own emotions, and of course you're going to be drained. And so get more sleep, drink more water, and feed yourself a lot more appropriately than you have been.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, okay. Okay, that's simple. Thank you very much.
You're very, very
welcome.
I'm glad
to talk to you. I listen to the show all the time. I think you're beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm glad you found us at our new time.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. You sure did. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
That was one of my concerns, and not so much Jeannie's, but my concern that, you know, oh, my goodness, we're changing the time. Are people going to find us? But clearly you are finding me, so I will calm down and not worry. Okay, we got Patricia in Virginia. Hi, Patricia. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Barbara, for doing this reading for me. I had a reading for me a long, long time ago on Almost Heaven, and you were very accurate as far as timing goes. So I decided to try you on your new show. Thank you.
Oh.
A lot of things have happened to me in 2012. I ended a very, very long-term relationship, and it ended on December 21st, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so that's moving along. And but it was a long time coming, so it's, you know, I'm pretty much on track.
Yeah, the spirits on the other side are saying she took her sweet time with this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a long time coming, and I'm thinking, hoping that they're proud of me that I finally did it. But I'm on my own, and I'm looking to enhance my job, what I have now, and I'm all over the place, and I was just wanting to hone in on what you see for me, you know, as far as work goes.
Okay. You currently do have a job now, right?
I'm an independent contractor, but the work is not always constant, so it's not real consistent. I'm going to keep it, but I'm looking at more like a career. I'm looking to do something that benefits not only myself but society. Because at this stage in my life, I really need to do something that gives back, you know.
Well, yeah, giving back is really important. I don't think everyone realizes that it does, what we get hinges on what we give. It's an absolute wonderful cycle. And when I look at career here, I see you rebirthing yourself, you bringing in new aspects of yourself, allowing yourself to flower and grow and stretch into other talents and gifts that you've brought into this lifetime from past lives. It does feel here as though it's really important. And what I said to the lady before you, you know, applies to you as well. Stop trying to think what you need to do and allow the universe to draw you to where you need to be. Quite often we try to analyze our passage, our evolution, and our development, especially the spiritual one, which is so important to all of us. And the reality is that we usually get in our own way when we do that. And when we get in our own way, we slow the whole process down. I feel that naturally you're drawn into a lot of different directions. You are a people person. You work well with people, and giving back to humanity and society, it doesn't have to be, you know, a job, because the reality is it's how you live your everyday life that determines how much you're giving back to society. Are you smiling? Are you saying kind things to other people? Are you doing favors for people? Are you picking up things that people have dropped? Are you holding doors? That kind of thing is the beginning of how you get into service to humanity. It doesn't mean that that's all you do, but what happens then is the universe gets the idea and puts things in your pathway so that you're able to share yourself and do things for other people. They kind of channel it towards you. Going out and looking is holding yourself to the intellectual level, and in this particular area, you want to have a more cosmic consciousness, and so you have to trust that the universe is going to be there and send you the things that you need to have. I have found that personally, when I've tried to sit back and say, okay, you know, where would my energy best be served or serve best, I usually limit myself, and I hold myself back from the full richness that if I'd let the universe do it would have been there. And very often we don't see anything immediately, and so we figure, well, it's up to us to do it. And the reality is, no, it's not. Patience is one of those aspects that all of us come into this life to learn, and you have to have patience to let the universe, you know, manipulate things and put things where they should be. I feel that you have a lot of healing energy. I feel that there is a tremendous amount of healing going on here, and it does feel as though money is coming your way, more money than you anticipate, actually. Especially it's going to hit you in the May time frame. But prior to that, it feels as though we're going through a healing process now. When you go through a healing process, that's probably not the best time to try to figure out, you know, the next step to take and move yourself towards that step or steps beyond that, because it's sort of like look at yourself as though you were a broken bone, because you're going through a change and you're going through a healing, and you give that bone time to mend before you decide to run a marathon or something like that. So my feeling is you're trying to push things too fast, too far. So it looks here from what I can see is that spirit energy is holding you not in you're not being held dead in place, but you've been slowed down so that things can fall into place in front of you, and you have to have the patience to wait for that to happen. Your career, it feels as though also that there are probably some workshops or something like that you could become involved in that would expand your skill set and stretch you a little bit. The more you know, the more you learn. You know, I preach this all the time. If we're constantly learning and growing, then the universe is constantly sending us that wonderful energy that kind of moves everything along faster. And it does feel as though spirit energy is moving in that sort of direction for you as you come into February. February, it feels like things will fall into place for you, and you know, it will be like magic, and, you know, in my opinion, it actually is magic, because the universe does it for us. Sometimes people work so hard, they don't understand that if something is very, very hard, we're probably not meant to go that direction, because evolution is a flowering, and you don't see trees and flowers struggling to bring forth leaves and flowers. They just naturally unfold in the right amount of time and in the right environment. And I think what you're doing is creating a new environment for yourself. Being of service to humanity, absolutely. That's what all of us should be doing. And you start small, and you start with your own environment, and you just expand it outside of that. And then before you know it, the universe has, you know, takes the cue from you and puts more and more and more in front of you. So I know that a while back, Jeannie and I were talking about you. We'd like to take Nightlight in other areas as well. And we both researched and we both looked and we both investigated and we came up with, you know, just nothing. And when we sat back and just did the show as best we could, we were approached by three or four different places that wanted to take the show and expand it in those directions. So it's a matter of letting the universe do its job. And you know, frankly, I think they're very slow and they should, you know, have somebody come in and reorganize them so that things could happen faster. But doesn't seem to be happening. So their timetable and their speed of, you know, making things happen must be right. It just doesn't feel right to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, all right. Well, that makes sense. So I'm to sit back and continue what I'm doing. Oh, yes, I am in service to humanity every day. I'm very compassionate wherever I go, even in my backyard with the animals. So, yes, I understand what you're saying there. But I just want it, you know, to be doing something that is meaningful, very meaningful than what I've done in the past. So that's why I was asking that question.
Well, you know, in the Bible, Jesus does say, you know, whatsoever you do for the least of
yeah.
them, you've done for me. And the aspect of being kind and caring and giving and you know, it starts small and it just grows so big. It's amazing how the energy just snowballs when you put it out there and you don't have any strings on it.
Yeah,
so,
and
you know,
go ahead. Sorry,
you just, you know, don't try to say, well, this is small and I want to get big. The reality is, the smaller it is, the more important it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because
oh, yeah.
it does become a building block, and the more you have that you're building on, the more sturdy your foundation.
Yes, and I wanted to ask, there was a person, and his name is Steve, and I had a profound spiritual experience when I met this person several years ago and never had any further contact, but I wanted to find out, you know, just simply, do I need to let this go, or is this person going to be a part of my life as, you know, friendship or whatever, because this energy keeps circling around me,
mm-hmm.
and I was just wondering who this person was.
Well, I think in many ways he was a trigger to awaken aspects inside of you, and I can tell you that if you let go and just get on with your life, this person will come back into your life over and over and over again, and there is a potential for a relationship. But if what you're doing is sitting and perseverating on him, that sort of drives him away. So
yeah.
it's a matter of getting on with your life and recognizing that it was an important time to have him come into your life, to trigger aspects within you, to awaken other aspects that had been dormant for so long. And you know, if you're grateful and you're happy that those things happen and you're moving on with life and everything like that, then they come back to wake up more. But if you're running after them or waiting for them, you know, that's even awful, more awful, because it means you've stopped growing. So let go and allow them to come back in over and over and over again. It feels as though the more you grow and the more you evolve and the more you develop, the more it draws him in, actually.
Okay. So you did say that, of course, me moving on and letting go, you see that there is potential for a relationship in the future.
I do, but you have to not be expecting it.
Right.
So, you know, I know that's, you know, it's, frankly, I've been in places like that in my life, and I can remember saying to the universe, I'm really not anticipating anything. I've absolutely let go. And I hear laughter on the other side because, of course, I haven't. So.
That is true.
It's, you know, we can say it, but, you know, when the intellect does one thing, the emotions tend to do another. And So it's not as easy to do, but once you've done it, it does bring everything into a full circle, and then things really do start to happen.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. Yeah, I'm going to do exactly what you said and just do the best I can every single day the way I'm doing it and not try so hard, because I've been thinking about this new career opportunity, and I know I need to heal. I know I need to just sit back and be with myself. So I want to thank you for that information.
Oh, you got it. I didn't tell you anything you didn't already know.
That is true. You did confirm a lot for me.
Okay.
Thank you. Sometimes we do have to hear it.
Yeah, it does. It does help when it comes from someone else often. So, you know, I understand where you are, and I've been there too. But, I mean, you've got such wonderful stuff inside of you that all you need to do is just keep going forward, and magic will happen, I promise.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That
You're
makes
welcome.
Me feel good. Bye, hey. Barbara. Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Thank you. Okay. I know what it feels like to be in that position. Tough one. Okay. Delphine, hi. How are you doing today?
I'm fine.
Fantastic. How can I help?
I was wondering what, because I reconnected with the old friend, and we seem like it's a connection, but I wanted to know, what are you picking up? Is he selling me, or is this going to be more? And if not, then do you see someone else coming in for me? His name is Deshaun.
And how long ago did this happen?
It happened before December, then I kind of let it go, and then January after, right after January, we reconnected again, so.
Okay. Well, it does feel here as though this is a relationship that you've had before. Whether it's this lifetime or another, it's hard to tell, but you two are drawn together. It feels like you have things that you need to work out. And it feels as though both of you are growing from this relationship. I think it's a good relationship. It's certainly totally up to you two where you take it, but it does have great potential here. And again, the important thing for you, and for him, I think, is that you not forget you have dreams and aspirations and you have directions that you want to take your life. And if you are in a relationship, sometimes you tend to just forget about your stuff and focus on the other person, which, of course, brings your life to a dead stop. And the lesson here is that you have to keep moving forward with your life, following your dreams, doing the things that are important to you, and reaching for those goals that you set for yourself when there wasn't anybody there. You've made promises to yourself. And you have to keep them. And if you put everything of your own on the sidelines to focus on another person, you're definitely kind of getting off the track and sitting at the station waiting for the next train. And that doesn't help you. You're on a spiritual journey this lifetime. And when you're on a spiritual journey, you have to follow your own spiritual pathway. Sometimes other people's pathways run right along with you parallel for a long, 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 long time. And even though they may go different directions, it doesn't mean the connection is lost. So I think that's what has happened here, that for a while, a long time ago, you were on the same pathway, sort of, and then you both did your own thing, and now you're coming back together to kind of seeing where the other person is. But you can't focus on their needs and their dreams and their wants. You have to focus on yours. And that doesn't mean that you're selfish, and it doesn't mean that you don't care. It means that everyone has their own work that they have to do on their own evolution, and you can't do it for them. You can be a cheerleader. You can definitely be a cheerleader, but try very hard to keep your own purpose in your own direction. I think this relationship does stand a very good chance, so long as you don't give up on the things that you've promised yourself.
Okay, because I was trying to figure out how he's feeling, and I'm like, oh, I don't know. I kind of had, like, mixed feelings, because I'm like, he's somebody from my past, and when I was thinking of 2013, I was thinking of meeting somebody brand new that I didn't even, that, you know, that wasn't from my past, and
Well, like I said, this is a nice person, and you know, are there other people that are going to be coming into your life? Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not saying that this is, you know, your soulmate, because I'm not sure it is, but it's a good person, and a relationship with this person on some level would be a really, really good thing. I don't ever suggest to people that they let go of someone just because they aren't, you know, on a pedestal, or, you know, have an aura of you know, sparkly gold light. You have the opportunity here to learn how to be, among other things, a really good friend. And then it could stretch into other things. There are at least two new people coming into your life this year. And it's sort of like you can't see the universe isn't going to give you just one person, because when that happens, you always screw it up because you overwhelm them with everything. You're an overachiever in giving, and you know, you're an enabler. You're, you know, all of those awful titles. People, I happen to be a functional enabler, so I can identify other enablers. But the thing is, what's really important for you now to do is to keep yourself balanced. And if you keep yourself balanced and following the things that you need to do for you, that draws into you people who are also taking care of themselves, so that you don't have to do it.
Okay.
Makes sense?
Yes, it does. So you said two new people are coming.
Mm-hmm. And this one may well be training wheels.
Okay.
If you get my point.
Do you see one of them being my, because I know we have many soulmates, and I just wonder, do you see one of the two being the one I end up being with long term?
It does feel as though, karmically speaking, one of them is. But you won't know. You just have to be friends with everybody and let the universe do the work, please.
Okay.
Because if you try to pick, you're going to screw it up. I mean, you won't miss a chance, because you can't screw up something that's meant to be. But you can make it take longer than it should.
Oh wow. Okay.
You're supposed to enjoy the ride, not manipulate it. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling. Bye bye now.
Bye bye.
I think relationship is probably the hardest thing in the whole world. But fun, lots and lots of fun. And if you let the universe do the work, it's even more fun, because sometimes there are people who aren't even in your neighborhood or state or part of the country or world, and they will find ways of bringing the right person into your reality if you can just stop trying to make something happen and rather embrace things as they come to you. It's an amazing thing when you turn everything over to the universe, and that doesn't mean you don't pay your bills, because you do, and it doesn't mean you don't have a job, because of course you do. You need to have jobs. But the important thing here is you work on the quality of your own life. And when the quality of your own life is rich and full and exciting and just so good that you just can't believe it, that's when you draw someone to you that is in the exact same place. So it's amazing. And you can't screw with the universe. You can't lie to the universe. You can't say, I'm ready, I'm content, I'm happy, I'm joyful. Because usually you'll either hear dead silence on the other side or horrendous laughter. And every now and then I hear a door slam when I say something like that, and it's the universe going out to play a round of golf while I get my act together. So you don't do it on purpose. You do it until you fall into that place, because that's how hard you've worked. So it's not easy, but boy, once you get it down, it is absolutely fabulous. And Jeannie is going crazy on the switchboard, so if she answers and she curses at you, don't take it personally. Okay, we got Craig. Hi, Craig. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Barbara, how are you doing this afternoon?
Absolutely fabulous.
I'm liking this new time. I'm not going to catch you now that I'm off of work.
Ah.
I had a question for you. Do you interpret dreams?
Sure.
Okay. I had a dream a couple of nights ago that I was coming back from an event. I'm not sure where, but I was coming back and I was getting undressed in my bedroom, and my cousin came in and started messing with my playing around, and after we got finished wrestling a little bit, he left, and then I got in my bed, and then a woman came in a brown veil, and she got in, and she laid in my bed, and I started touching her face, and I asked her, you know, why didn't you tell me? And she's like, I was afraid of how you was going to respond, and then I woke up, and that was it, and I felt like that dream had a message.
She wear the veil to bed?
She had like a brown veil on, fully covered in this brown veil. She had long black hair, and she seemed like a young lady that I already knew, but I couldn't fathom who it was in my dream.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's someone you've already met. I think that it's someone that is coming into your life. How long ago was the dream?
2 nights ago.
Okay, I need you to sit down and journal everything you can remember about it. Don't interpret it. Just put down the things you remember, the things you saw, and you know, if you felt something one way or another. Our dreams are always, always prophetic. They always are. It's our consciousness trying to tell us something. And usually, everybody has a different time frame as to when the images in the dream manifest within our reality. Sometimes it's 5 days or 7 days or 21 days or 32 days or 7.5 or you know, 6 hours or 9 hours. But whatever it is, whatever your time frame is, at some point in time, this dream is going to make absolute sense to you. And you're going to be able to, you know, go back and see when it happened, and then you'll know what your time frame is, and then you'll have something that you can really work on when you have other dreams that you don't understand. It feels as though this is a person who is well-grounded. It's a person who is coming into your life who is not going to be pushy. They are going to be, they're going to sort of be quiet. They're going to be the kind of person that you don't notice at first, but then suddenly you realize that there's an amazing richness there. This is someone who is not going to fall into your usual pattern of people that you would be involved with. But there is an amazing richness to this person that you will see over time. Now, this doesn't mean that you know, it's someone that you would be repulsed by. It's just not someone that you would have, you know, put on your checklist of, oh, yeah, there's a potential person. And yet I think that there is such richness, wisdom, and depth within this person that it's almost like the universe is not going to hit you over the head with this person, but you will notice them eventually. And, you know, then you're going to, you know, smack yourself in the head and say, oh, how dumb could I have been? And the reason is, you know, you can be pretty dumb if you want to. And you have moments. You know, you are a very spiritual person and you're a very intelligent person. And sometimes the richness that's inside of you sort of overwhelms you and you sort of lose track of what you're supposed to be doing with life.
Mm-hmm.
And you have preconceived notions as to the types of people that you want to have in your life, that you want to be in relationship with. It's not even so much the physical as much as it is the emotional depth that I'm looking at here. I mean, I think this person is very nice looking. I think that you're just not seeing the whole person. And I would strongly urge you to, you know, as you meet people, as they come into your life, don't categorize them and put labels on them as fast as you may have in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take the time to really discover what's inside of the person or the people that you're coming in contact with, because I think there's absolute amazing magic here, and I would hate to have you kind of pass over it and not actually understand what it is that the universe is offering you here. As far as your cousin goes, is this somebody who's close in age to you?
No, it's one of my closest cousins. He's kind of up in age. He's always been a prankster type of guy. He's like in his 60s now.
Okay. It feels to me as though he represents a sort of esprit de corps, a joyfulness, a playfulness that you have inside of you, but that you have sort of held down and held back, as though you're trying to be mature and sensible and reasonable and grown up.
Mm-hmm.
And to be perfectly honest with you, there's nothing that says you have to grow up ever. So, frankly, I'm 68, and I got to tell you, there's still a great deal of my childhood still very much at home and having fun in my retirement. So, it's very appropriate to let that joy overwhelm you and have fun with it. That doesn't mean you play jokes on people at their expense or anything like that, but it may well have a great deal to do with allowing yourself to celebrate, you know, the things you've worked for, the things you've accomplished. It does feel as though, you know, a lot of things are coming full circle here in your life here, and it does feel as though you've crossed a threshold of understanding into new levels of understanding of the spiritual dimensions that are around, and I feel that you are extraordinarily intelligent. And sometimes you let that be the face that people see instead of the laughter and the fun and the joy that is also inside of you that you hold back on a lot.
Right.
So looking for a better balance here is usually the laughter and the joy that draws people to us. And, you know, that if what we are inside, you know, the totality of us, is what draws other people to us. At this moment in time, you're going to draw serious people who have almost no sense of humor at all.
Okay.
And sense of humor is important to you.
Yes.
So let's go for a better exterior balance of what's inside so that the universe understands what it is you're looking for. Because I don't think you're looking for someone who is serious and analytical and somber and ritualistic. I think you're looking for someone who is carefree and has laughter in them.
Yes, certainly. I've been in relationships with a young lady who was extremely analytical and always drove me crazy. Certainly.
Well, it's because you that's what you were and that's what you drew to you. So,
that's
so
the crazy thing I told her, yeah.
You know, you got to understand, and this is an absolute. We draw to us people who are similar to us. And if people, you know, if there are people around us that drive us nuts, that we're upset with, that, you know, those people that they're a mirror for us. Not for us to judge and say, wow, I don't want to be like them because I can't stand that. The reality is there's something of that in you, and you need to correct it so that this person will go away. And you can't just slam the door because then another person, even worse, will come in. So basically, you work on yourself. And I got to tell you, I can remember times in my life when I would say to my girlfriends, my God, all I do is attract losers. I must, you know, I must have a sign over my door that flashes bright red all the time. Losers apply here. And the reality was, I kept thinking I wasn't good enough to have a good relationship. So what I was attracting was people who truly were not good enough, and it took me a lot longer than I care to admit to understand that, so that you know, then it was work on myself and value myself and be able to look at myself in the mirror and say, you've done a lot of work and it really shows. This is cool. And at that point, it changes the people that are attracted to you. So So take a little bit of your uncle and apply it to you. And as far as the lady, I do feel that probably in a couple months you're going to know exactly what this means.
Okay, sounds good.
But I can tell you, but because it was a brown veil, it has to do with someone who is very grounded. And I think that basically, again, your checklist for what you're looking for, I'd like you to throw out and just ask the universe to send you what's best for you.
Wow, I just made one, too, like 2 months ago, so I definitely want to do that.
Yeah, please throw it out, because I, first of all, I think you've left out some important qualities. And secondly, I think that if you ask the universe to give you the perfect match for you, what would be perfect for you, what it is you need to have in your life at this moment in time, you'll have a far better experience than you would have if they'd gone from your list. Throw your list away.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Thank you so much, Barbara. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, as always, with you too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It is fun. I love relationship stuff. I'm not an expert, but I've had some absolutely magical ones in my life, so I can at least share how I got there. Okay, so, hi, Sharon. How you doing?
I am great, Barbara. Nice to talk to you again.
Yes, I'm glad you found me. When Jeannie and I changed the time, I thought, well, I hope this doesn't screw everybody up. But
it's actually much better for me, too, because I found you, which I haven't been able to do.
Well, we've been around, but we went from 11 to 1 at night to, you know, we this show has bounced around a lot. And, It, when Patrick came out here, we put it in the daytime because it was easier so that I would have evenings free. And then Patrick passed away. And then I thought, well, let's change the time again just for the hell of it and see what happens. And it allows Jeannie to have a life on Fridays, too, which is really kind of nice.
It's really nice. And I wanted to also thank you for all your great advice. There's been a lot that you've wisdom you've already shared in this time frame, and I wanted to acknowledge that.
Well, thank you so much. It's important to, when something works, put it out there and say to people, you know, I've tried a lot of ways and this seems to work. And, you know, if you want to make a mistake, find one of your own. I've probably already done it. So, but it is, it's an honor to actually do the show, to tell you the truth, because I learn so much from everybody who calls in. Because if you guys didn't call in and sort of trigger whatever it is I say, I wouldn't have said a lot of the wonderful things that I've said. So it's a two-way street here. I learn from you, and it's nice to know that on occasion you learn from me a little bit too.
Oh, definitely. So what I would like to ask you, Barbara, if you could just give me a general on what may be coming my way.
Oh, I would love to. From what I can see here, it does feel as though the pace of life for you is picking up. There's a lot of new energy coming in here, and it's all directly connected to a lot of the garbage that you've let go of and a lot of the baggage that you've let go of. It does feel as though healing has taken place. You've worked very hard on yourself. You've really put yourself through the mill here. And I have to say that maybe you've been a little harsh on yourself, but you seem to have survived it, so that's the important part of it all. It does feel as though this month is a time in which healing has taken place, and it feels as though you're a lot more kind to yourself than you have been in a very long time. And there is that sense of you have a feeling here as though there's a glow to you, as though there is not only inner growth but outer growth as well. And so I think you've really used the situations of the last couple of years to benefit yourself greatly, and spiritually speaking, you've certainly used your experiences to not get back or even, but to grow and to understand and to let go and to forgive and to not forget, because I don't think we forget, but to forgive, and that's a good thing. As we come into the February timeframe, here's where it's important for you to be truthful with yourself about what it is you need and what it is you want, and those are two different things, you know, just in case you hadn't realized that. And to be honest with yourself about stuff. It feels as though sometimes we get in positions where we think we know what we need and want because of what people have told us, and the reality is they don't know what the heck they're talking about, so that everybody, you know, requires different things at different times in life, and it feels to me as though there's going to be a time frame here where you sit down and you talk turkey to yourself. And this is one of those times that I sit in front of a mirror. I sit back from a mirror and look in the mirror. And if you sit too close, you're starting to look for things, and that's ridiculous. So you sit back far enough so that you can't see wrinkles or gray hairs or anything like that. And you talk turkey to yourself. And what is it I really want? And where do I want to take, you know, this next phase of development, because you really are at the beginning phase of a new era for yourself. There's a lot of work going on, and March seems to be a time where there's more work going on than you anticipated. You have filled yourself very, very full, and it looks like your shoulder is not only to the grindstone, but so is your nose, and so is everything else. It feels as though people are telling you to slow down and to take it easy on yourself, and you feel as though there is a time clock ticking, and I don't see that there is one. Yeah. At least there isn't for the, but you just feel like there is one, and I think it's your own issue. And you know, if you want to spend some time visualizing a clock with no time clock ticking, or a clock where the alarm is not present, or whatever you need to do, because it feels as though you're pushing yourself very hard, and there's really no deadline here. As you get into the April time frame, here's where your house is in order. It feels like you're really working on not only your physical, but your body, but also the physical home that you live in. It feels like there's work that's got to be done, and it feels like you're, again, taking on more than you need to, but you always do finish what you start. It just may not be in the time frame that you figured it on. It feels here also that there's travel of some sort. So pay close attention to offers that come your way, because travel seems to be connected to some of them, and it feels as though these are places that you never even really expressed an interest in going to or a desire to be in. But I mean, you're not going to be touring the slums of some place, but it's an area that you hadn't thought you wanted to go to, but it sounds interesting, and I would say to you that if someone says I'm going here, do you want to come? And you know, you don't have an aversion to it, but you never thought you'd have interest in it. Please go, because it will hold more in it than you could ever imagine. It's sort of like, how can I best illustrate this? It's sort of like if somebody said, I'm going to go to the car museum, do you want to come? I really don't care about car museums, and it's not some place that I would go, but I think if I were you under those circumstances, I'd say, sure, I'd love to go. And it feels like you'll either meet someone or you'll find something that will absolutely be there will be a revelation there. There will be an epiphany there. And this is going to happen a number of times. So do understand that if you have no feeling one way or the other, I say plow into it absolutely, because there's a lot of magic here for you. There's body, mind, spirit being pulled together in May. It feels as though you're moving in new directions. You're understanding new ways of taking your spiritual energy and applying it to your physical reality in ways that you never, never, ever imagined before. June, you're crazy. June is so busy, it's ridiculous. June is a time frame where you're just doing so many different things that you truly don't have time to sleep. So eat well and drink lots of water. I mean, I would say don't do it, but I don't see there's any way of stopping you. You're going to do it, so you might as well just eat well and try not to try not to feel badly when you realize that you're so overwhelmed that you can't take care of everything, and just pace yourself, because you will finish everything you start. But again, the time frames that you've put on them are not as practical as what the universe will do for you. So the universe is going to slow you down a little bit. If you feel that you are pushing yourself so hard that you're having anxiety attacks or something like that, that's when you sit down and you call a screeching halt to everything. Because if you don't take it easy, if you don't pace yourself, the universe will give you a way to pace yourself. And sometimes it chooses ways that are not as comfortable as others. I have a little... She calls herself an apprentice, but she's 46 years old. So, you know, I'm not sure how long apprentice applies. But I had talked with her about, you know, pacing herself and taking it easy. And she kept saying, I'm doing fine. I don't need to pace myself. Well, she broke her leg in two places.
Oh.
And she called me and she said, so I'm pacing myself now. And I laughed. I said, well, 3 months in crutches, that'll slow you down, won't it? And she said, yeah, and so she said, I guess I could have slowed down a little before I broke my leg. And I said, that might have been a good idea. She said, I will next time. And I said, well, that's good. So you got July here, where you've got laughter, joy, and celebration. This is a reunion time. Lots of new people coming into your life, lots of new aspects of life here. And it feels like there are just tons of new people. And I said reunion, and I meant it, but this is reunion of people from past lifetimes. So you're going to be meeting a lot of new people, and it's going to feel as though you've known them all your life. It's going to be a really, really cool time. And there's a sense here of celebration, as though you've made connections that you felt were missing. I know sometimes you do feel as though life isn't full, it isn't, there's something missing, and you're going to start finding the missing pieces here in the July timeframe. Not all of them. But you're gonna really feel like, okay, I am seeing how there is reason to this madness type stuff. As you get into August, here's where spiritual stuff really is absolutely amazingly overwhelming, and it feels as though you're really moving in new directions. You're discovering a lot of new aspects of yourself that you didn't know were there, and I think you've got talents and gifts that you're starting to bring forward that you haven't played with before. So any new aspect of spiritual development or spiritual awakening or spiritual evolution, you know, go for it, grab it, and stretch yourself into it. It's wonderful, because with the spiritual, there is never a time when we will know it all. And the more we know, the more we realize how little we actually know.
True.
And it's amazing. And I'm seeing a lot of books around you, lots and lots and lots of books. And it feels as though you're expanding yourself intellectually, so that it opens doors for the spiritual and the creative. And it does look as though you're having a tremendous amount of fun here. Other people around you seem to be on the same pathway. So for a time, this is going to be a time where you have group energy as well as everything else. September has you evolving into new dimensions. It has you evolving into new ways of impacting your reality. And this is a time where things that we have hidden from ourselves begin to manifest and surprise the daylights out of us. It's really funny, because when I get information from people, it's usually I get images. And the image that I'm getting here, you know, relates to me, so that I can give you the experience type stuff that I'm seeing. I think that in the September timeframe, you're gonna find that things that you have avoided in the past because you just haven't been interested, or they spooked you, or they creeped you out, are going to become fascinating to you.
Ah.
And this is going to be a fun time. This is where the universe shows you that, in some cases, you know, fear was inappropriate. In other cases, you know, it's sort of like, I really don't even want to try clams because they look icky. But but what I'm seeing is it's probably very enjoyable and they probably taste good. But there's no way I want to put that stuff in my mouth. And that's the kind of symbol I'm getting for what I see you going through. Things that you've avoided because you've prejudged, you try and find that, wow, were you wrong?
Uh-huh.
So it's like last year, the year before, we grew Swiss chard in the garden, and I'd never eaten Swiss chard, so I didn't know what it was, and I didn't know how it tasted, and it took me almost a year, the second year, to actually cook it and discover that it was really delicious. So you've got a lot of those aha moments coming, and I think it's going to be a hoot and a holler. So keep a journal of the new things you try that you've avoided for all of this time, because it's going to be quite eye-opening for you, totally. October, you've got spirit energy all around you. Is October the birthday or anniversary of somebody who has passed over?
No. My brother has a birthday in October, but not anybody offhand that I can think of.
I'm seeing spirit realm coming really, really close to you. And this would be somebody that's already passed over, because I don't see anybody croaking on you or anything like that. So it's spirits around you, and it does feel as though it feels like it's an anniversary. It could be a wedding anniversary or something like that. But the month of October really has spirit energy absolutely all over the place with you. Feels as though change is in the wind, so that you're shifting and focusing in new directions. November has you becoming initiated into new levels of spiritual awareness. There are so many levels, and everybody seems to think there are a fixed number of them. And the reality is there are always more levels than we have achieved yet to go.
Right.
So that you know, we're never at a place where I have arrived and achieved, you know, and have been crowned with mastership or anything. That doesn't happen because we're always capable of so much more. And it feels like, you know, you begin to understand that the further along you go, the richer everything becomes. And it's really an amazing time for you. December has bringing balance and justice into your life and moving you in new directions so that you can, you know, really start to utilize your creativity in new and different ways. I'm seeing you doing a lot of that, but in little places. Are you writing because you should be writing?
No, not really.
Oh, you should be writing. You don't necessarily have to write books or anything like that, but journaling, keeping track of the pagans, witches, have a book of secrets, which basically is a book of things that work for them, things that make them happy, things that bring richness into their life. It's not spells so much as it is how are they applying themselves to their life and what kind of richness does it bring in. So it's a really cool thing.
Yeah.
And I would do something similar. You don't have to call it your book of secrets. Your spiritual book of secrets would be really cool. Matter of fact, I will throw out to you a new secret that I discovered. I didn't discover it. Somebody told me about it. But if you take pennies and you put them face up on either side of the door that you come and go from the most, you will never, never, never be in need of money.
Whoa.
And I gorilla glued them to my front, my front door sill. And yeah, I have to tell you, since I've done that, it's been rather amazing how money has found me that I didn't expect. And you do it face up, and you're just supposed to put them there, but with this house, it with my luck, the cleaning lady would pick them up. So I gorilla glued them down so that they're not going anywhere. And money comes in, and, I haven't put it to the test. I haven't asked for thousands or been in need, but I haven't been in need either, and that's unusual for me. So,
do you put them on both sides of the door or just like the outside?
Yeah. No, on the door jamb, to the right and to the left,
okay.
So that you're constantly walking through that money energetic coming and going.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's really cool. But you've got a lot of great stuff here, and I think it's going to be a fabulous year. And
it sounds
spiritually
pretty exciting.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. Well, I will have to journal so I can keep track of all this that happens, Barbara, so I can let you know.
Yeah, you know, I think that so many of us have miracles that happen in our life almost on a daily basis, and we don't pay attention to them. And you know, sometimes it's a miracle that, you know, that I remember to scoop all the litter boxes and feed all the cats, mm-hmm. and other times it's a miracle that something comes into my life just before I discovered I needed it. And so that, you know, writing these things down also tells the universe I'm paying attention to those things that you're giving me and sharing with me. And once you've validated the fact that you're recognizing it, they give you more and more and more.
Yeah. And that's what we want.
Yes, you gotta let them know that you really are paying attention. I mean, clearly we're not always paying attention, but you know, at those moments of clarity, we have to say, "Wow, thank you. I really needed that," and it happens. I mean, and the more we keep track of it, the more we validate it, the more that we say, "Whoa, I just can't believe that," you know, that happened. It just intensifies everything around it. And I try to do it. I try to do it as often and as much as I can. And I highly recommend everybody else do it because, you know, sometimes even when everything is crap around you and you're depressed as all get out, if you can find a miracle, whether it's you know, an amazing sunrise or sunset or tons of cardinals coming to your bird feeders and making you smile. I mean, sometimes acknowledging the simple, small things means that they will snowball into the larger things and chase away depression.
True, and you think by doing that journaling, because you mentioned earlier how the universe was kind of, I don't want to say objective to, or misalignment with what was going on, or do you think that would ease that misalignment there?
I think it does. I truly think it does, because the more we're cognizant of what is being gifted to us, the less we tend to want and judge and yearn for things that we really don't need. And, I mean, I can remember being much, much younger, and let me tell you, my wish list was just, you know, ridiculously stupid and obnoxious, but I was in my 20s, and what the heck did I know? Yeah. And now I do count my blessings. I mean, there's a very old hymn, you know, count your blessings, count them one by one.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was serving as a minister in the spiritualist church, I gave everybody a piece of twine, and I said, okay, so this is your life, and it's very smooth, and there's nothing going on, and I want you to start tying a little knot for every blessing you have, and it can be as much as, you know, I had the congregation help me, and I stopped after one man said, well, I'm happy I haven't gotten AIDS yet. And I said, you know, that's a knot, but, you know, you don't need to share that. That's just a little more sharing than we needed here. But, you know, good children or just that, you know, the bills are all paid today and I don't feel stress or whatever it is. And when they got them all done, I said, now you tie the two ends together and you put it around your neck. And if ever you have a time of stress or strain, you feel all those knots and recognize the fact that you have so many blessings that you know, how can whatever is occurring now possibly overwhelm all of the blessings that you have in your life?
True.
So it's kind of cool. And you know, it has to be, you know, 6 or 8 years later, I had a woman stop me in the street, and she said, you don't remember me, but I, you know, remember when you came to the church. And she said, I was there the time you did the knots. And I said, oh, I remember that. That was a lot of fun. And she reached into her neckline, and she pulled out this piece of string that had all these knots in it. She said, I've worn it ever since, and it has gotten me through some very tough times. And she said, and one of those knots is that I was lucky enough to be there in the church when you told us about this. And I thought, wow.
Wow.
Cool. Very cool stuff. I did tell her she could get a cleaner cord and, you know, kind of reopen.
Yeah, that is so nice. There is something about putting things together that you can tactile relate to it, too. There's something going back and being able to touch into that and bring that memory, too.
Yeah, it was a poor man's worry beads, I think, actually, is what I was creating. But they were creating it themselves. You know, they were saying, okay, I have, you know, good friends, and there's a not there for my friends, and there's a not there for this, and there's a not there for that. And you know, there wasn't a person that went out of there that didn't have tons and tons of knots on their cords. And, you know, and one man said, you know, I didn't realize how many good things I had in my life until I started tying the knots. And I said, well, that's maybe something good that everybody should do now and then.
Oh, indeed. Indeed. Definitely. Well, thank you so much, Barbara. I know there's a ton of people here, and thank you so much, very, very, very much. And namaste, and I love your life.
Oh, namaste to you, too. Thank you so much. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okie dokie. We've got Kathy, I think. Wait. Kathy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. The third time's a charm. Took me three times.
I mean, have you been bumped off this? It is, you know, I try to keep an eye on it. And you know, Jeannie has been saying she's going out of her mind. And of course, you know.
And I called in early, too.
Oh, goodness.
That's
well,
all right. I don't mind listening. You have so much wisdom.
Well, you know, not so much that I have it that people need to hear it, and then it's there, and usually it's something they brought in, they just didn't know themselves.
That's true. We need reassurance.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I want confirmation, you know.
Yeah.
Actually, I would love every now and then just to get a, you know, a telegram from God that says I'm on the right tracks. You know, I don't think that's asking too much.
Oh, no. Mm-mm.
But I don't even know if they deliver telegrams anymore, to tell you the truth. But
yeah, that's right.
It dates me slightly. But you know, you do. You want to, I can remember a long, long time ago, I started to doubt whether I was on the right path or not, and I preface this with the universe has a very sick sense of humor, and I was out walking the dog at like 3 a.m. because I'd been painting on the mandalas that I was doing, and I was walking along with the dog, and I was talking to whoever was listening, and it was like, you know, I need a sign. I need somebody to let me know that I'm on the right pathway, I'm doing the right thing, that what I'm doing is not, you know, just some huge ego trip that is ridiculous, and I want to make sure that I'm helping. I don't want to hurt people. And, you know, I listened, and there was silence and the dog, and then I could hear the rigging clanking in the boats that were in the boatyard that was down the road from us. And I kept saying, you know, I just, you know, something simple, a burning bush, flash of lightning, you know, thunderous voice from the sky, yes, you're doing right. Just anything simple, but, you know, you don't have to go whack out with it. But I need to have a sign that I know I'm doing right, because if I don't get a sign, I'm quitting. I'm sitting down and I'm saying, okay, this was an ego trip and I'm not taking it any further because I don't want to hurt anybody. And you know, a little later I said, you know, I'm serious. I am going to go on strike if I don't get a sign. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, a seagull flew over my head and shit on me.
There's your sign.
Yeah, and so now when I go on strike, I do it inside. But but it's, yeah, we do. We want to, everybody wants to have some sort of sign that they're on the right track, they're doing the right thing, they're in the right place. And sometimes actually we get the signs and we don't even recognize that the sign has been given to us.
I know, I've heard that before.
Geez, yeah. So how can I help today?
Can you tell me anything about my spirit guide that's helping me now?
Well, you got a number of them, actually. I see three of them here. right off the bat. And it's really interesting. One of them is dealing directly with karma, the karma that you're gathering and paying back. It feels as though there is a guide that has to do with past lifetimes here. And you have people coming into your life over the next year that are going to be sort of tying up loose ends of karma. So you've got this master teacher here that has to do with the past, with karma. You have another master teacher with you, and these are disincarnate spirits. They have not been down here before, so it's really pretty unusual for somebody to have three of them, but you do, and you have another one that has to do with wisdom, with helping you to explore, uncover, and then bring knowledge and wisdom forward in time and incorporate it into your reality and utilize it in an appropriate way that not only benefits you, but it leaves hints and seeds there for other people who are also growing and stretching and trying to find wisdom in these times of just, you know, utter confusion and doubt and then knowledge, and then there's a healer too, so that there's a lot of healing energy around you as well. Are you currently doing Reiki?
I'm not practicing it right now, no.
But you are a Reiki master?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I am too, and when I took it, I didn't take it because I wanted to practice. I took it because the energetics that are involved with the Reiki energy do open you and add a greater sense of clarity to whatever it is you're getting and giving.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got healing and you've got wisdom and you've got the karmic guide here as well. And then there is another guy that seems to have been with you since birth. And I think this is the one that you see on a pretty regular basis. Do you see him?
No.
Okay. Because he's basically... it's interesting. This makes four, I know, but, you know, he came up after the other three were done. This is one that's been with you since birth, and it's what I find fascinating is that not only is this person, this spirit who is with you, magical on many different levels, but it is a soulmate from a lifetime past that chose not to incarnate this lifetime, but has been with you ever since birth, to make sure that you're okay and that you're treated well and that the right people come into your life. And this is somebody that is there for protection and love and compassion and insight and all sorts of wonderful things. Doesn't mean that you won't find, you know, a soulmate in the physical, but this one is there just to make sure that magic happens in your life, whether or not you're going to be open to it or not. It feels as though you do have a tremendous amount of spirit energy around you. Also, you know, relatives that have passed and that are, is your father in spirit?
Uh-huh.
I feel that I have his energy here. It feels as though he was not so much into all of this stuff.
Not at all.
Yeah,
but now he is, right?
Oh, my gosh.
oh, my gosh.
It's sort of like, you know, I don't want to call them born again because they're not that, but he's sort of one of these, he's nuts about everything. He thinks it's amazing. He didn't believe he was going any place when he died, and when he realized that there was a whole other dimension in reality there, he was born again into it. And you know, did he have trouble with his hips, arthritis or something? Because he's showing me he's very, very limber and agile and everything right now.
Uh-huh.
And so he's got that sense of youth back again. He's got horses he's riding.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's what I said. He was not extraordinarily athletic when he passed away, right?
Right.
He is doing all sorts of amazing athletic things there now. He's sort of rediscovering and understanding that spirituality and religion are not exactly the same thing.
Exactly, because we we used to go to church every Sunday, and, you know, to this day I still do because that's how I was raised. But
uh-huh.
now I'm finding out that there it's two different things.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, it's kind of hard when you, you know, you're stuck in one place.
Well, you know, religion is, it was a way that people used to understand or be informed about spiritual stuff, but religion recently, and I don't want to in any way discourage someone from going to church because I think it's wonderful because you have group energy there. But spirituality is basically how you live your life according to the inner values that you brought into this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Religious is a practice of a belief system. Spirituality is all-encompassing and cosmic, and it was founded on universal love. Churches were not in the Bible. Originally, when all of this stuff happened 2,000 years ago, there were no churches, there were no ministers, there were priests, but it was more of a cultural thing than it was religious.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a structure there, and it's antiquated, and it doesn't serve people's spiritual needs as much as they should be. And spirituality is something that is very individualistic. Everyone has their own personal spiritual philosophies, and if they follow their life, if they live their life according to them, then basically they have gone above and beyond what any religion would ever ask of you.
Right.
So you know, you look at I think it tickles me, the Ten Commandments. You know how many commandments there were, don't you?
No.
Over 600.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Moses got over 600 laws when he was on the mountaintop. That's why it took so long, I would imagine. I mean, and some of them, if you go into actually, you know, going into what all the laws were, one of them was that you couldn't wear two fabrics that were of different, you couldn't wear wool and cotton together. That was definitely sacrilege. One of the laws actually told you how much you could sell your children for. And they go on and on. But I guess somebody boiled them down to 10, and that's where it stuck. But again, the religions that are out there today have been constructed by man.
Right.
Spirituality is a whole nother ball of wax, and that doesn't need a building, and it doesn't need dogma, and it doesn't need anything. It's a matter of allowing your heart to be true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful thing, and you don't have to be any place on any particular day, and you don't have to go through any rituals. It's life is the practice of your spiritual self. And
right. I recently heard that the King James Version was taken out of the Bible.
The original Bible was in three different languages, and at some point it was translated by Constantine into Latin. And then King James had it reinterpreted into Old English, and he had it written in Old English so that only the court spoke Old English, so that only nobility would be able to read it or even have a Bible.
But they talked about reincarnation, and they took that part out of the Bible, is what somebody told me.
Reincarnation, now I have to rely upon my husband who has passed, so because we had this argument over and over again. Reincarnation does not, as reincarnation, is not in the Bible. And he argued the point with me that what we interpret, what those of us who believe in reincarnation are really seeing or you know, we're misinterpreting genetic memory. However, Jesus, according to the Bible, Jesus was the God of the Old Testament. And I said to him, you know, how do you explain then if Jesus was the God of the Old Testament, here he is in the New Testament thousands of years later, how do you explain that? He said, well, it was just the reincarnation of that spirit. And I said, aha. And that ended that talk. But the Bible itself does not talk about reincarnation.
Okay.
It you know, it is not the word. If you've ever seen, are you familiar with Strong's Concordance?
No.
Strong's is a huge, thick book, and it takes every word in the Bible back to its original language and meaning.
Wow.
Reincarnation is not there.
Interesting.
I mean, it feels like they're alluding to it from time to time, but they never come out and say it.
Uh-huh.
So, no, it was never present in the Bible. It's definitely not present in the King James Version. And King James had that Bible written, just had it interpreted and written and printed just for the nobility, so common man could not understand it. That's why the these, thousand, those are there. I mean, trust me. Back in Egypt and Israel and what, they did not talk that way.
So with reincarnation, it's like, did I know my husband in a previous life?
Now, see, I believe in reincarnation.
Yeah.
And so it does feel as though, you know, yes, you did. And you had a relationship with him in a past life. And it feels like there was some very good stuff and stuff that needed to be worked on, and that's why you were drawn together this lifetime.
Ah, okay.
And you know, it's amazing, and you have to understand that reincarnation, I mean, I think now, after, you know, arguing the point so often and so long, that probably what's going on is the spirit does travel through time, I believe. I believe that first of all, the human spirit has so many complexities that it can't possibly have been made for just a one-shot deal.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make sense to me. And I have memories of past times and past lifetimes, and everybody does, and they describe them or they justify them in lots of different ways. Patrick thought it was genetic memory, and that may also have some part of the whole thing. But, you know, I believe the spirit comes back time and time again, and each time hopefully we come back and we're a little better and we've learned a little more and we have more to share with and more talents and gifts to bring forward. It's the only way I can explain child prodigies, musicians.
Oh, right, yeah.
I do believe that they had that talent and that skill in past lifetimes, and they brought it forward this time. And quite often, children who are very, very talented and can sit down and play extraordinary things, yeah, come in there. And that, I don't buy that's genetic memory. I think that spirit is just, you know, hop, skipped, and jumped forward.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't. And in India, there are several cases of young children who, when they were old enough to talk, would say, I'm not your son, I'm so-and-so, and my wife is in this village down the road. And when they finally were old enough to be able to go down the road and go to the village, they found their wife, and they were able to talk about the children and everything.
Hmm.
So that's not genetic memory. That's a past life.
Yeah. Okay, well.
So did you have a question today, or was that it?
Well, I wanted to know about my spirit guides, you know. I don't really feel them around, but I know they're there.
Yeah, you know, if we tripped over them all the time, we would rely upon them to answer every question we had, and that's just not what they're for. Spirit guides are sort of there to help you to shed light on aspects and areas that we need to develop, and hopefully we're smart enough to recognize that and open ourselves up to the wisdom and stuff like that that is there for us to bring forward and to bring out. Spirit guides, you know, don't you know, set up blockades around us to protect us, because we're here to learn, and quite often, sometimes, learning isn't as comfortable as others.
Do you know what my old karma was?
Well, karma is energy.
Right.
So it isn't that you have, you know, a single, we all have lots of karmic stuff we're working on constantly. I do feel that you've had some of the stuff karmically that you're working on this lifetime is communication, is talking to people and communicating better. Some of it is balancing out situations from lifetimes past. And it feels like lately you've run into people that seem to just fly off the handle for no reason at all.
Yeah, like this guy at work the other day.
Yeah, who absolutely overreact to nothing. And basically what it is he's reacting to a situation that happened in lifetimes past, and you know, he's finally able to explode where the consequences of his explosion are maybe just a little embarrassment instead of possibly being beaten to death or something. So you're going to find a lot of those things happening probably within the next couple of months, and with yourself as well. Something
exactly.
will happen. You know, you will just suddenly overreact to something, and you know, once you've overreacted, you sit back and say, well, I wonder where that came from, a past life.
Okay, I got somebody at the door.
Okay, well, you...
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for calling and asking such great questions.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Mary. Okay, this is cool. You guys are giving me lots of fun stuff to do. I do thank you for that. So we've got Jamie. Hi, Jamie. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am terrific. Thank you. How
Great.
Can I help?
I have a question about my job. I just wanted to see when you see me going back and if you see me going back.
Why are you not there? I mean...
I hurt my back.
Oh, okay. So you're on workman's comp type stuff here?
Yes, that is correct.
And how long have you been out?
Since December 18th.
Yeah, I'm seeing you actually, you know, moving around and going back around the March time frame. Have the doctors given you a date?
No. Actually, I go to see the surgeon on Tuesday, and my physical therapist, she thinks I should get an MRI, but I don't know if he's going to do that or not.
Is this your lower back?
Yes.
And this is going to sound silly, but are your toes feeling numb?
You know, I haven't noticed anything feeling numb.
Okay.
But
I think you know you're badly bruised. I don't think you're broken.
Okay.
And before I even go any further, I have to say I'm not a doctor.
I know this.
Okay. So you just take what I have to say with, you know, a grain. No, the whole salt shaker. It feels to me as though you have some pinched nerves here that could be, you know, sort of. Pinched or bruised nerves, you know, something that is going to take a lot longer to heal than you expect. But I think that in the March time frame, it feels like, you know, everything comes kind of full circle for you and that you do get to go back to work. I'm questioning, though, as to whether you really, is this where you really want to be?
You know, this is the thing. It is such hard labor. And the thing is what hurt me, I'm afraid is going to hurt me again.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to lift even though you go back.
Oh, my goodness. And that means I can't go back to my job.
What did you do?
I am a CRCST, so I deal with surgical instruments.
Okay.
And we're talking ortho, the bone ones, so they're the most heaviest.
Okay. I'm not seeing you being able to lift. But I am seeing you going back in another capacity.
Okay.
So, you know, and they can't fire you. Cause did you get hurt on the job?
I did. I sure did.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if one has to be hurt, you know, that's a good way to do it.
Exactly.
It feels to me as though there's another place where you will go. that they will find another area for you to go. It doesn't feel like they're going to struggle to make sure that they use you appropriately, but you're not going to be able to lift. Not for a while, anyhow. I think it's going to, by June, it feels like there's new beginnings and fresh starts. So,
goodness.
But I'm not seeing you out of work for that long.
Okay.
But by June, it feels like you're able to really function well and everything is fine. And I think your back is going to be something that you are gentle with for quite a while. But in many ways, this is a time for you to discover a lot of the creative stuff that you haven't been doing. You can certainly do some of that. Feels like you have books that you should be reading that you haven't read. You bought a bunch, but you've not read them.
Yeah.
So that you're going to have to, you're being held in place to catch up on a lot of stuff that you've kind of let go. A lot of old photographs here that need to be taken care of as well.
Okay.
So I could give you a long list of things that you should be doing now. This is
one thing that's worrying me is I have to move in March. So, I mean, I'm going to have to start packing, and I can't hardly lift anything.
Well, that's what friends are for.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, the ones that nobody likes to move. Nobody likes to do that stuff.
But you know something? I think it's important that people, you know, if they can, move every 10 years.
Yeah.
Or go through their whole house and empty everything out and reevaluate what they have and what they can let go of. Because otherwise, we carry so much crap that there's not room to pick up new crap. When my mother passed away, my sister and I had to go through a house that held not only my mother's stuff, but all of my grandmother's stuff and all of my stuff because I had moved back in with her. And we had lived in the house for 50 years, and she never threw anything out.
Oh, my goodness.
And when I tell you anything, I mean, my sister and I found my grandmother's collection of jelly jars.
Wow.
If you're old enough to remember back, Welch's jelly jars used to have cartoons on them.
I don't know.
My grandmother used to save those. Now, why, I don't know, but she did. And we found all of the old towels and old sheets that went back 50 years. And
so
going through your stuff, you know, now and putting stuff aside that you can give to Goodwill or wherever would be a good idea.
Okay.
And you know, take your time. You've got months. You literally have months.
I do.
And make sure you donate it someplace where you get a tax write-off. But you know, it's time that you slowly went through stuff. You've got a ton of, I don't know why, but you have saved papers all over the place. And do you genuinely have boxes of papers, old bills and things like that?
No, just like I went through a bankruptcy and I keep that stuff forever, you know, like those kinds of files or, you know, things, some tooling or something like that. I have a big file folder, a big file cabinet that I keep that in. Well, it's not real big. It's only two drawers.
No, I'm seeing boxes with lots of papers in them. So just, you know, remember I said that because I got a feeling you've got, maybe it's not even your stuff. Maybe it's somebody else's in the family's. But I'm seeing a box of old papers, at least a box, if not more. And so, you know, take your time, start to go through this stuff. And by the time you hit March, you're going to be in great shape and you won't have that much to move.
Now, do you see my move going okay?
I do.
Okay.
And, you know, happily you've got a lot of good friends. And you know, I think that also if you have to pay movers at all, you know, I would say that you can almost write them off because of your physical disability at the time.
Oh, I never thought about that. Okay. That's a good idea.
It's all good. You've got the doctor's clearance and everything. So, you know, I think it's a write-off. you know, it may be stretching it, but I think it's a valid one, so I think it would work.
Wonderful. You do that with your taxes? Is that how you do it?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. I never thought about that. Good idea. Yeah, I was definitely planning on movers, so I just don't know where to move. I'm just so questioning. I'm like, where do I move? So that's given me something to do, too.
I really think that, you know, something is going to come up for you. I think that you're going to, you know, something you'll almost stumble across it.
Uh-huh.
I think it's going to be something that finds you rather than you having to find it. But for heaven's sakes, absolutely, you know, go on the internet and look around and see what's available. But I'm pretty sure that it's going to be a very easy move for you.
Good. Thank you so much. That makes me feel so good.
Yeah, no, you're in good shape. You really are. Okay. But don't waste this time. Don't sit by the, you know, don't watch TV and eat bonbons. Do stuff with it. So that you are using the time in a very positive way so that, you know, stuff will flow smoothly for you. Lots of people in your position would just, you know, sit back and, you know, worry and say, you know, woe is me and all of that. And I think the universe has given you a wonderful opportunity to take care of a lot of details.
This is true. This is true. I mean, it couldn't be at a better time. I mean, right before I moved. So, yeah, it's given me time to get rid of some stuff and go through stuff and everything. That is so true.
And it takes your mind off the rest of it. I think your back is going to be just fine. It just needs time to heal.
Now, can you see when I go back, like, what will I be doing?
Nope. I just know it won't be what you have been doing because you can't do the lifting. But it feels as though it's a challenge in some ways. And I think that actually that you may well find that it's a better place for you than you were before.
Yay! I love that. That's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. I think they're going to have to almost invent a job for you, and you're going to fit into it beautifully.
Wonderful. Wonderful. All right. Well, thank you so much. Smooch all of your kitties for me.
Yeah, I will. There are 8 of them here, and they all seem to, it's real cute. Litter boxes up the wazoo. No, they're great. I love them. They're fabulous, and they're amazing, and they all have their own personalities, and I wouldn't get rid of them, not for anything, but I will say 8 cats is too many, and I don't recommend that everybody get 8 cats, but I'm going to let attrition take care of it. I couldn't possibly get rid of any of them, but yeah. I think that 8 is a bit much. 2 or 3, 4 even, but 8, a lot.
But I bet it is a lot. But it's a good company, that's for sure, and lots of
Oh, they are. They're great company, and I love them all dearly.
Well, thank you so much, Barbara.
You're so welcome. Take care now.
I will. You too.
Bye-bye. Okie dokie. Oh, I love it. The switchboard works fine for me, Jeannie. I don't know what you're talking about. We have Cheryl in Texas. Hi, Cheryl. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am fabulous. Thank you.
I was sitting here preparing what I was going to ask you, and I went into prayer, and I heard the word profession, but I really wanted to ask you about my 13-year-old daughter, who is absolutely wonderful. She's my third girl, and I just adore her. She's easy to get along with and wonderful to have around, just an easy kid. But I think that she may have a bad influence, and I noticed that she's kind of changing stories. Things that she tells me she's going to do, she changes it.
Uh-huh.
I had noticed a change in behavior after spending the night with the same friend the next morning. She kind of acted lethargic. So I'm just kind of wondering what you see for her. She has a dance tomorrow night, but, you know, none of her friends are going to go, so she wanted to go with, you know, meet up with a friend who's a boy, but I just don't know kind of where she's at right now. I wonder what you can see.
Well, do you remember being 13?
Yes.
I think she's absolutely normal. I think that that she's trying to find herself. She's not found her shadow yet. That's my term for who she is and where she wants to take her life. And at 13, nobody knows. I think that she's got friends, from what I can tell here, that have tried things that she hasn't tried and are trying to influence her. But I think that you've done a great job with her, and she absolutely does know what's right and what's wrong and what's appropriate and what's not and what's good and what's not good. I think that she may well have dabbled a little bit, which could be some of the lethargy that you're feeling or seeing.
She tried like a Xanax out of my cabinet?
Oh no, I don't think she would have done that. Have you? You know, are you counting the pills? I mean, do you have any way of knowing?
No, I don't.
One
day I picked the bottle up and thought, oh, this is lighter.
I'd lock it away, but I don't think that she's taking your medications. The only thing I was seeing was that, you know, she might have tried marijuana, and I don't think she liked it. So I don't think you have anything to worry about. And again, the hormones are here, and there's a lot going on inside of her, which is, you know, there's a lot of changes that are going on and a lot of out of balance stuff. So some of that could be what you're seeing and you're sensing. It's a confusing time for kids. It really is. Has she gotten her period, or is she?
She's fully normal. Yes.
Okay.
You know, out of the 13-year-olds that I know, she's very sociable. She's outgoing. She laughs. She enjoys her friends in school. She's a pretty well-adjusted person. The things you're talking about are very typical for a 13-year-old. All of a sudden, I noted a marked difference in behavior that's happened twice now. So I was curious about, there's one girl named Grace that she hangs out with.
Yeah, I think that I don't know if it's this one, but I think that somebody that she's hanging out with is experimenting with things that aren't as healthy as they should be, could be. I don't think that, and you know, your daughter is normal and wants to be a part of the crowd and stuff like that. So she may have been coerced into trying some stuff that just, you know, her system hasn't liked at all. But I do feel strongly that she has a very good sense of what's right and what's not. And that part of what you're seeing is her struggling, you know, with, I want to belong, but this is not where I want to belong.
Okay, so she's thinking on her own. That's very
good.
I found out that she has a boyfriend. But he's just like a boyfriend on one of those, you know, phone apps that she has where they chat and share pictures.
Is he in the same town?
No.
Is he in the same state?
Yes, and he comes to visit, and apparently he was coming to visit when she was at her girlfriend's house. They would go to the park, and they would all play on the park equipment or whatever that I know of. And then I found a picture of them at the mall. I didn't know that they had done that.
How old is he?
I think he's about the same age. I'm not real sure.
I would be leery of that. And there's no way you can tell her not to do it or anything like that, but I would try to keep, you know, I'm very leery about the internet with kids.
Oh, me too. I'm fine. I actually confiscated her phone and told her that the only password that she could have would be the password that we both knew.
Uh-huh.
And that she loses her phone if the password isn't the same, or she doesn't share the change with me, then she loses her phone. So she's been pretty open about that. And I found out a lot more than I thought I knew.
What kind of phone does she have?
Pardon?
What kind of phone does she have? Is it a? I know it's a smartphone, obviously.
Yes, it's an Android smartphone.
Okay. There's a wonderful app that I got and put on my phone and my husband's phone because my husband kept losing his phone. It's called Life 360. And it will GPS wherever the phone is. And it's wonderful. You can put it on your computer and you can put it on your phone. And you can just, it's not to check up on her. It's just in case she hasn't called in or checked in or whatever, you will know where her phone is anyhow.
Okay.
And if she has nothing to hide, she won't object to it. And she'll be able to see where you are too. I mean, you know, it's works both ways.
And she has a friend named Tori. Is she is she a good influence for her?
You know, I'm not feeling that she's with anybody that is harmful. I think she's with some people that are older than she is emotionally and you know, a little more venturesome emotionally. So she's playing catch up or trying to, and sooner or later she'll start to make more intelligent selections. But right now she just wants to belong and she wants to be her own person, and she doesn't know who that is yet. So
okay.
It's a tough one. I don't think I'd be 13 again, not for anything. Not even if I knew 14 was coming.
Well, it seems for this dance tomorrow night that her her friends have commitments. Like, I think they play sports and they have tournaments that were unexpected when they all signed up for the dance.
Mm-hmm.
And so she really doesn't have anybody to go with, but she wanted to meet some of her friends who were boys that are going to be there. And it's only 13-year-olds that are allowed to go to this dance.
And it's a school dance.
Well, it's not at school, but it's kind of like a cluster of schools, but only the eighth grade. So
if she still wants to go, I would let her go.
At one point, she said, "I'll just go by myself." And I thought, well, I was proud of her confidence level, but
yeah.
Then again, I was kind of concerned as to what I couldn't see.
No, I think it's going to be very well supervised, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay.
And you know, it's kind of like, you've done a good job. You have to trust that you know, you have to trust her. And I strongly feel that she, you know, is she going to make mistakes? Yeah, absolutely. We all do that. But they aren't going to be horrendous ones, and she'll get her feet under her. I think she's playing catch up. I think that she's like you said, she's wonderful and she's balanced and she's got a good handle on what's right and wrong. But you know, reality and life are changing rapidly as we speak, and so she's playing catch up, and you know, in some cases she's going to be a little off center, but she'll figure it out.
Okay, that's wonderful. And I know you probably don't have much time left for me, but when I was praying, I heard ask her profession. Is there? Can you tell me something short about that?
Do you have one now?
No, I don't. I'm actually in between. I'm thinking about going into a new career.
I think if it has to do with healing energy of any kind, with teaching, be great for you. I think that from what I can see here, professionally, it's your time to do what you want to do, instead of, you know, looking at, you know, money and things like that and what other people are telling you should do. You should be following your own dreams and your own passions. It feels as though what you've been looking at are traditional jobs and occupations, and I think you need to go way outside the box in order to be really happy.
Oh, really? How far
Yeah.
outside the box?
Well, stay this side of the law. I mean, you know. but I would be as strange and unusual as you could get, because I think that's where you'll be happiest. You don't want to sit. You don't want to fit into a niche someplace. That's just not you. You
now,
have to.
When you read my energy, can you tell if I've had, how much Reiki can you tell that I've had?
I can't tell. I just know it's here. Are you a master?
No, I had one, and I had two. But I always felt like the first one was powerful, and it actually
mm-hmm.
opened me. And the
yeah.
second one, it was like I spent 8 hours there, and it felt like nothing.
Same person?
No, different person. The first one was really, really crafted, but I intuitively I felt like I needed to go to a second person.
Yeah,
no,
I you need to do Reiki 2 again. And I would suggest that you get Reiki from the person before you actually sign on to do Reiki 2. And you don't need to go for mastery. You just need Reiki 1 and Reiki 2. You don't need mastery.
Okay.
And you know, that's for everybody. That you know, if you want to be a practitioner, Reiki 1 and 2 are all you need. And the only reason you need Reiki 3 is if you plan on turning around and teaching Reiki and, you know, then charging for all of that. And it doesn't feel like that's what you want to do. You want to have the energy. You want to have the symbols. You want to have the attunement. And the attunement is very special.
Oh, that was magical. It was really a special experience. So I was
yeah.
so surprised. And the second one, she did a whole group, and she's been doing it for like 20 years or more. But she just, it just, there was nothing.
Now you got to find somebody who, and again, you go to a Reiki share, and you experience everybody's energy, and the one that really clicks with you, that's the one that you have to give you the Reiki 2 attunement.
Have you ever heard of Sozo, S-O-Z-O?
I have.
They're doing, I went to a Sozo class not too long ago, and I'm invited to go to an introductory Sozo class. I don't know much about it. I just am drawn to like different types of healing modalities.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of it?
I think that as with every healing modality, it depends all depends upon the intent of the person giving it. And I would go and learn about it and just see how it resonates with you. Because you're the final judge. You're the one that's going to make that determination. And anything you actually believe in and feel that strongly, you know, really strongly about will be powerful. But you have your intent and your feelings are what make it so. Okay?
Okay.
Well, thank you so very much for calling in.
And thank you so very much. You really helped me today.
Oh, it's been a good day. Thanks again. Take
thank
care.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And thank you for everybody. I so appreciate your being here and sharing your energy with Jeannie and me. And we will be back next Friday, 4 to 6. And you know where to find us now. So take care. Bye-bye now.